Turn with me, if you would, now to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. It's page 1109 in my Bible. Daniel chapter 4. Monday morning, I downloaded the message from last Wednesday night because I was not able to watch it while it was streaming. And I heard a very dear brother deliver a very dear message on the absolute sovereignty of God. His sovereign will and purpose in all things. All right, that's what I heard Monday morning on my phone. His sovereign will and purpose in all things. After I listened to that message, I felt so thankful for what we get to hear. So thankful for what we get to hear. So thankful for what has been revealed to us. What we have been caused to know and believe. Truly know and believe. And as I was sitting there thinking about all that for a minute, this thought went through my mind. I wonder what everybody else is hearing. All right? That's what we heard. I wonder what everybody else is hearing. I wonder all these other, religious places, what are they hearing? So I went to the website of a false religious organization and I watched their last service. And I don't recommend anyone to do this. It made me so angry. Honestly, it made me so angry. Everything about it was absolutely despicable. Everything about it. Their music was despicable. Their lack of reverence was despicable. It was so irreverent. Their motivational speaker, who they refer to as their pastor, he gave his speech. It was not a message. If it does not come from God's word, it is not a message. But I listened to his speech, and it was on this subject. God is frustrated. And he used Matthew 6 for a text, the precious Matthew 6, where our Lord taught his disciples to pray, saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And this is what he was saying about that. He said, what God wants to be done is being done in heaven. But it's not on earth. Clearly, it's not on earth. And it's frustrating him. Can you imagine? And the point of the message, the point of the speech was, we need to help him out. That's the point of it. He said, we need to pray. Okay, after this manner, pray ye. He said, we need to pray that we will have the strength to begin a change that will conform this earth to do the same things that are being done in heaven right now. We need to make this place look like that place. And he said, we may not be able to change the whole world, but we can change ourselves. And he was, speaking to his congregation. He said, as a congregation, and this is, oh man. He said, we can give God a little slice of heaven right here on earth. And he said, in doing this, we will be able to love ourselves as God loves us and cherish ourselves as God cherishes us. You can see why it made me angry. I don't recommend anybody to do that. Just don't do that. It ruined my whole morning. It honestly ruined my whole morning. Everything that came out of that man's mouth was a lie on God. And it was a lie to those poor, deceived people that he was speaking to. I feel so sorry for those people. I just want to say, run. Run for your life. Run for your life. After I fumed over that for a little while and I calmed down, this thought came to me. But for the grace of God, there go I. But for the grace of God, there go I. If it weren't for God's grace, that is exactly what I would be doing. I'd be trying to make disciples in any way I could. We have so much to be thankful for. Not lifted up in pride for. Well, now we know the truth and you all are ignorant of the truth. We don't have anything to be lifted up in pride over. We have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be humbled for. The grace and the mercy of God has revealed the truth to us. The truth that actually sets men free. What that man was doing was burying people in condemnation. He was delivering the lie that actually brings men and women into condemnation. The truth is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we've been given. And because of Brother William's message, and because of Brother Rex's message from Sunday night, in Jeremiah 52, where Nebuchadnezzar, this king Nebuchadnezzar, dealt kindly with the king of Israel, he quoted this portion of Scripture, Daniel 4. Because of all that, this final thought came to my mind. When God reveals the truth to a man, once I was very angry, but once I really did enter into, but for the grace of God, there go I felt sorry for all of them. I felt sorry for all of them. And I pray that God in His mercy will reveal the truth to them. And but if that happens, this question comes to my mind. When God reveals the truth to a man, what does he see? We have all of this ridiculous religion out there. It is ridiculous religion. When God reveals the truth to a woman, what does she see? What are sinners caused to realize and know and believe in their hearts about the absolute truth of God Almighty? I believe this passage answers that very well. What God revealed to this man, Nebuchadnezzar, this is what God reveals to all of His people. And if we have had this revealed to us, we ought to be so thankful for that. We ought to sincerely be so thankful for that. What does the truth reveal to sinners? What will men and women see when the truth is revealed to them? Well, Nebuchadnezzar was a sinner who had the truth revealed to him. And Daniel chapter 4 is his experience in his own words. All right, verse 1 says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Nebuchadnezzar is the writer of Daniel chapter 4. And that's amazing to me. God allowed this man, this king, who did so many terrible things to Israel for so long, He allowed him to be one of the penmen of His holy scripture. And in this account, Nebuchadnezzar tells everybody, this is what God revealed to me. He is recalling what happened in the past, okay? And he's saying, this is what God revealed to me, and this is what will be revealed to every sinner that has the truth revealed to him or her. In this chapter, I'm not going to read it, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And it disturbs him. And he dreams about this tree, that, you know, this great tree where all these animals took shelter under it and all the birds lodged in it, and it gets cut down. But the stump remains. And none of his magicians or his astrologers or his soothsayers could interpret the dream for him. But finally, Daniel is brought to him and he interprets the dream. And if you look at verse 24, Daniel 4, verse 24. Daniel said, this is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my Lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. What he's saying is, repent. You repent before the Lord. He may have mercy on you. Verse 28 says, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar 1 year later. It all came upon him 1 year later. A full year went by from the time that Daniel prophesied of it till the time that it happened. Plenty of time went by for Nebuchadnezzar to think, that's a bunch of foolishness. Where is the promise of that coming? It's been a whole year. Nothing's happened. Nothing's happened for a whole year. Verse 29. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Me. It's all about me, my strength. What I have done, what I will do, look what I've created. There's no frustration here because I did it. Verse 31. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Again, this is Nebuchadnezzar telling what happened to him, telling his own story. And he said, that's what God did to me, and this is what he taught me in it. That's what God did to me, and this is what he taught me in it. Verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. This is what he said. He said, when God restored me, when he quickened my mind and opened my eyes, and he caused me to see, he caused me to realize, he said, this is the first thing I saw. God's absolute sovereignty over all things. God's absolute sovereignty over all things. He said, the first thing that I realized was God is not frustrated over anything. God is not frustrated over anything. There is no tug of war going on with God, him trying to pull everything over to his side, which is what people, and that's what that speech was all about. He is not the king of heaven who is also trying to be the king of earth. God doesn't try to do anything. He doesn't try to do anything. Nebuchadnezzar said, after God broke my pride and broke my foolish arrogance and humbled me, after he broke me from everything I thought I was capable of doing, this is the first realization of truth that was revealed to me. Thy God reigneth. That's what happens. When God comes, that's what he tells sinners. Your God reigns. Behold your God. That's the first thing a sinner will see when the truth comes. When the truth comes. Lord, let the truth come. That's what I pray. I pray that God will send this gospel out. It'll sweep through the land and the truth will come. Behold your God. Your God reigns. Your God is God. Who is God? Jesus Christ, the King over all dominions and all generations. Same King over all generations. That's who the sovereign God is. How do you know that, Nebuchadnezzar?
I know that because he brought me down.
I can tell you, he brought me down. There was a time in my life when I thought a whole lot more of myself than I do now. All of God's people can say, he broke me, he humbled me. That's how I know he's God and I'm not. That's how I know that. Here's the next thing that Nebuchadnezzar had revealed to him. Every sinner will have this revealed to him or her when the truth comes. Verse 35, he said, and. First he said, he lives forever. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. And here's the next thing. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He said, that's the next thing I learned. God is God and I am nothing. I am not God's helper. I'm not the one who is going to receive the strength to do anything for God. All of our strength is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our strength and our song. And he has become our salvation. It's in Christ alone. Hold your place right here in Daniel and turn over to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 6. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? Here it is. All flesh is grass. And all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Who is the word of God? That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come. You see that capital L, lowercase O-R-D? The Lord Jesus Christ, our God, will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He is coming to accomplish a work, and he will do it. Verse 11 says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. That's Jesus Christ. He is everything and everything else is nothing. Including me and you, in our flesh, we are nothing. We are nothing. Look at verse 15, Isaiah 40, verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of the bucket. You know what that is? One man described it this way. Back in these days, they used to drop a bucket in a well, and it would fill it with water. And they'd draw it up, and they'd pour that bucket into another bucket and carry it on with them. And you know how this happens. As you pour in it, that one drop, or however many drops, runs down the bucket to the bottom and it falls down on the ground. Are you going to spend your time and your energy trying to regain that drop? That's nothing. That's counted as nothing. Verse 15, he said, the nations are as a drop of the bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. This the dust that floats in the air. No weight to it. And finally lands on the scale. It doesn't affect them at all. There's nothing. Behold, he taketh up the isles, the islands, as a very little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. Amen. Don't we say amen? Don't you love hearing that? I tell you why God's people love hearing that. It's because it makes their God to be all. If we are nothing, he is all. And that's what we want. We want him to be all. And he is all. Turn over to Psalm 50. I've loved this since the first time I ever saw it. Psalm 50, verse 10. I can't help but smile every time I read it. Our Lord said, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. Verse 12, he said, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. I wouldn't come begging to you for food. You are nothing and you cannot do anything for me. That's what he's saying. When the truth comes, that's what men and women realize. God is absolutely sovereign over everything, and I am absolutely nothing before him. Here's the third thing that all men and women see when the truth comes. Go back to our text. Daniel 4, verse 35 says, Daniel 4:35, it says, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Thy kingdom come, Matthew 6 says, thy kingdom come.
His kingdom has come.
When Christ came, the kingdom of God came. The gospel of the kingdom came. The glory of the kingdom came. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
His will has been done.
In the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. He right now is doing according to his will, and no one can stop him. Oh, how thankful we are for that. He is creating light and creating darkness. He is creating peace and creating evil. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everything is happening according as he has predetermined for it to be done. If someone is wounded, the Lord did it. If someone is healed, the Lord did it. If someone dies, the Lord did it. If someone is made alive, the Lord did it. And although that's all true physically speaking, just think of the blessing spiritually speaking. If the Spirit of God comes and pierces the heart and wounds, God did that. And then if that thread of the gospel heals, God did that. If a sinner just is slain, God did that. Quickened to life, God did that. Whatever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and in all deep places. He has done what it has pleased him to do. What did it please him to do? I'm almost finished. What did it please him to do? The scripture says it pleased the Lord to make you his people. That's amazing. The scripture says it pleased the Lord to make Christ to be the sin of his people. The scripture says it pleased the Lord to bruise Christ in the winepress of the cross and to cover his people in the blood of the Lamb that ran down from that cross. That's what he did. It pleased God to choose a people, so that's what he did. It pleased God to make Christ to be sin for his people, so that's what he did. It pleased God to bruise Christ for that sin and to robe his people in the righteousness of Christ. So that's exactly what it did. It pleased God to raise Christ from that death. So that's what he did. It pleased him to seat Christ on the throne of his glory and to robe all of his people in the righteousness of Christ's glory. So that's what he did. Whatever he purposed to do, that's what he did. And here's the thing about it. This is what I want everybody to know.
He did not struggle in doing it.
He didn't struggle one bit. Never was he frustrated or even discouraged in doing it. And the reason is because never was there even a possibility that he would fail in doing it. Never. God is God. I am nothing. And he does whatever he wants to do. And what he wanted to do is our salvation. Oh, and his goodness. He foreknew us because he wanted to foreknow us. He predestinated us because he wanted to predestinate us. He called us because he wanted to call us. He justified us because he wanted to justify us. And he has glorified us because he wanted to glorify us. That's the truth that all of God's people have revealed to him. God in salvation, in mercy, in grace, did for us what he wanted to do for us. That's what he did. And this is the result that realization brings every time, okay? In closing, verse 36. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, And for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Here's what he said, not unto me, not unto man. We are not going to praise and extol and honor man any longer, no more. Now, he said, it's unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, our Savior, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. May God reveal that truth to us. May he cause us to know it, believe it, truly. For Christ's sake.